Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The status quo discourse says there is something fundamentally wrong with sex. We live in a world of conversations attempting to control the source human instinct, the power to procreate. Welcome to Sex and the Divine Design with your host, Muki Okon. It is the original divine design that ensures the continuation of life. Get ready for an enlightened discussion. Now, here is Muki Okon.
Welcome back to your latest edition of Sex and the Divine Design. I'm your host, Muki Okon, also known as your orgasm's best friend, and you can learn more about me at thepussytalks.com. Welcome to my guest today, Maquinie Ruth Tai. We're having a conversation about Araha, love, and the sensuous universe. Maquinie Ruth Tai is from Aotearoa, New Zealand. Araha provides the guidance for all that she does. Proud of her Maori heritage, Maquinie weaves the Araha wisdom of her ancestors with modern know-how for the benefit of humanity and all life. Welcome, Maquinie. Thank you so much for being here. And I know you are at home in Aotearoa, correct?
Yes, I am. And kia ora, Muki. Lovely to connect with you again.
And I want to tell the listeners a little bit more about you, because you are such an extraordinary woman, and I'm so thrilled that you're on the show this afternoon. So, Maquinie has a multi-dimensional approach to life, and she leads people to describe her as a holistic entrepreneur, a Maori language scholar, edge walker, I love that, wisdom keeper, and ambassador for peace. Indeed, she enjoys the life of a shapeshifter. So please tell us what you're going to share with us today.
Kia ora, Muki. Well, my theme today is Aroha, love and the sensuous universe. And I want to say thank you to you, because I never thought of it that way until you sent me your email. And I went, oh my gosh, well, now what am I going to write about? And that just came up instantly the moment I thought about it. And I thought, wow, that really works. So I'm really thrilled to be able to be here to share that. And what we'll be sharing, we'll be looking at some ancient Maori charts and stories describe a sensuous universe. And here we will learn that sound and song bring forth light and a life, awareness and transformation, enlightenment and ascension. As we engage in the haka of life, we become the ecstasy of life and living, because that's how I feel about our language and our culture. And when hopefully at the end of this session, everybody will feel it is their language and their culture.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
Alrighty. So perhaps I should begin with saying a little bit more about Aroha.
Yes, please. That would be lovely.
Aroha is like aloha. So people there will be more familiar with aloha from Hawaii. And it does mean love. Aroha is two words, merged into one. Aro is to love life, and ha is the breath of life. And so in essence, we are called aroha, to love all that is life. And I want to begin with a way, a chant that came to me a few years ago now, and its wisdom has guided me ever since. This way, or this chant, is also an example of how the old-time Māori saw this realm we live in as a sensuous universe. Everything is the result of a union between masculine and feminine. And in this way, the union is between aro, the love, and ha, the breath, or the spirit, which of course, because breath is the spirit of life. So here we go. The tune is not so ancient because it's kind of a little bit more modern, but that's okay. The words tell us what they are. So I'll say it in Māori first, and then I'll give a translation. And then perhaps, Muki, you may want to just ask a few things before we move on.
Okay.
Aroha. Ka moea aro I a te ha. Ka ha te aro. Ka aro te ha. Ka puta mai ko te aroha. Ka ha mai. Ka ha mai. Te aro nui a kuima. Ka ha mai. Ka ha mai, te aro nui a koroma. Ka ha te aro, ka aro te ha. Ko te mea nui, ko te aro ha. Love united with life force. Love breathed, life force intensified, emerging, birthing. Love life. Breathe in, breathe in, the great love of the grandmothers. Breathe in, the great love of the grandfathers. Love breathed, life force intensified. The greatest thing is love, life. So I grew up hearing that statement, ko te mea nui, ko te aroha, the greatest thing is to love life. And my journey through life has validated it, that this is true for me. And all that's required of me is to indeed love life.
That's extraordinarily potent and powerful. You know, one of the things that's always struck me in all of my interactions with you and with that chant that you just shared is it like penetrates one's essence. What is that about the Māori chants and prayers that has that have that power?
One of my deep passions has been to explore our language, and what I see is that it is coding the essence of the sensuous universe, and because of that, it must penetrate. And in order to enable that penetration, we must become every letter, every sound that creates the word. And so that's been a learning for me, and I'm still learning I get this elated feeling as the penny drops, as I begin to understand this more and more, that all there is love, and we, through the language, I'm able to tune into this, and it's my joy to share it with others.
And so because I know you're introduced to the language when you're still in the womb of your mother. Can you say a little bit about that? Because the chants are extraordinary. I mean, I know just such a tiny little bit about it, and they're so moving.
Yes, they are, and we call the chant the Mai Oha. And that means to bring forth the abundance. And so when we chant, we are calling the abundance of spirit to come forth and to come forth with the love. And the Maioha actually begins before conception, Muki. It begins when the parents are ready to bring forth a child into the physical realm. And the Maioha opens up the path through a karanga, through a call that opens up a light path, so that it then connects with the spirit that is waiting to come into this world and to take form. And that path must be opened with aroha, and it also describes to the child the realm that it is in, and then it says, here are some parents waiting to bring it forth into this realm. You know, unfortunately, we haven't, up until now, there's been a renaissance, but we had stopped using the maioha to birth our children or to even do the conception ritual, simply because of the, you know, the onset of hospitals and things like that, medical interventions. But there is a renaissance going on here with our young people who are wanting to know these things. And so some are now, and a growing number are now implementing the maioha and the calling in of the spirit waiting to come into this world.
Beautiful. And so in that chant that you began with, you talked about the grandmothers and the grandfathers, and it's like the eternal sensuality, that's what it brings up in me, and it's just so touching. Can you say more? Because a lot of people don't know about the whole ancestral connection and honoring and sacredness. You know that the Maori honor and bring forth.
Yeah, when I speak of the grandmothers and grandfathers, of course I'm speaking of, you know, the human grandparents and the human grand and so on, but also all life produces grandmothers and grandfathers. So trees are our elder grandparents, and so are the birds and the insects. So it is also connecting with those forms of life to help bring forth who we are. Because if we look, and fortunately for modern, you know, technology, we can now see the formation of the seed almost into form as they are now able to take photographs at those very micro levels of growth of the human body and indeed any other species. And we see that transition from the of the fetus from the early stages of the seed, and then it's expanding into the different cells that become then a rudimentary bird form, a rudimentary monkey-like form, a reptilian form is all there. Those beings are all acknowledged in our whakapapa, in our genealogy, and till we come eventually to the human form. And so it is an acknowledgement of all of the life that went before humanity that has enabled us to be here. And it is a gratitude to them.
Amazing, amazing. Mm. And now when you say that we learn that sound and song bring forth light and life, awareness and transformation, can you say a little bit more about that for our listeners?
Yes, I can. And what I'd like to do is actually go back and give you another chant that then leads into that. Is that okay? And we'll do it through
wonderful,
that.
Wonderful, wonderful, yes.
Okay, so our very earliest chant speaks of the no thing. And, you know, having looked at some other cultures like through the Sanskrit and so on, you know, those languages and the Dao have also helped me to decode, because I see similarities in the way of thinking, and I go, oh my gosh, that's exactly what we're saying. So that's been something I wanted to highlight. It's helped me in my journey. So here's this chant, and it, when I first came across it many years ago, it just held me spellbound, and I didn't quite understand it at the time, and this was in the late 80s. And then today, of course, awareness grows, light grows, and then experience gives you a little bit more understanding. So, ka nohoa iho ki roto I te aha o te wae, he pauri te ao, he wai katoa, ka ore he marama tanga, he pauri te ao, he wai katoa. Io dwells within the space of the spirit. The universe is darkness, all is spirit. There is no light, no awareness. The universe is darkness, all is spirit. So this chant tells us that two forces lay dormant, wai and marama. Wai means spirit. It also means song and water. Marama is the light of awareness, the light of enlightenment. And so what is waiting to enable Way and Marama to connect and then to bring forth the form that we become? Indigenous people, you know, who have retained their close connection to nature and cosmos also know themselves as seeds of greatness. So we, in this chant, there is a seed of greatness being spoken about. And the indigenous way is to personify nature and cosmos, and we are all indigenous, just that some of us have forgotten. And the indigenous way reminds us that we are one with the whole. We are all one family, no matter what our species. And what affects me affects other people and other life forms and nature and throughout the cosmos. When you know this at the core of your being, then you know you are supported. Personification and metaphor code the essence of life from where I've been looking at it. And so I want to move on to another chant which speaks of an activation that causes Wai to release its power, to release its spirit, its song, its water. And the cause of the activation is sound, which originates from Rangi, the universal father. Rangi means light, sound, and melody. And so we are introduced to the union of the universal father, Tāne Nui Ārangi, great light man, great melody man, great sun father, and the universal mother, Hine Wainui, great spirit woman, great song woman, great water woman. And the union results in the birth of life, as we hear in this next chant. And the metaphor is the growth of a forest from a single seed. And it is this union that releases the spirit to flow life force. And the sound released at the end is one that all babies make when they first activate their voice. Te pū, te more, te weu, te aka, te rea, te wānui, te kune, te hue. The seed, the taproot, the rootlet, the vine, the shoot, the forest, the growth, the sound. Beautiful, huh?
Very beautiful. Very beautiful. And you know, it's beautiful the way you talked about, you know, the coding, or how, like, wisdom is encoded in all of that. Because I recall when I met you one time at a marae in West Auckland, and we went into the ancestral meeting house, and you pointed out all of the designs painted in the ceiling, and you shared a story about how when you slept in the meeting house as a little girl, something specific happened.
Yes. I was sharing that, you know, as that young girl, whenever we had gatherings of the family, and that includes extended family. When we talk about family, we're not just talking about the nuclear family. It's everybody. Yes. And that's wonderful. So we had gatherings at our marae, and for those who don't know, the marae was and still is the hub of our traditional village. Although the village itself does no longer exist in many cases, we still journey back to our marae. And as a little girl, I would lie in the meeting house, which was the centre of the marae, where everyone came for gatherings and meetings. And today I know that that meeting house is actually the holder of the feminine essence. So, and it is the realm of peace. So no negative talk is usually shared in the meeting house. That is left outside, and that really makes sense, because if you're going to, you know, release anger, release whatever negativity you have, or release something that you need to get rid of, the open space is where you do it, and you do it in the way that you are meant to do it. You release it with big sound, with big dance and all of that, where you have the room to do it, and it can evaporate into the ethers. When you go into the meeting house, we keep it at the level of peace, which makes sense because we're in that enclosed space. And so in that realm, you know, as children, we would lay on the floor until we were till we had enough money to get mattresses. It used to be a dirt floor, then eventually it became a wood floor, and then eventually we made mats, and then we had enough money to buy mattresses. But and on the ceiling would be these, and still are today, these graphics. And, you know, it wasn't until I was in the US in 1990, and I attended a conference there, and I remember this session was on a book called Chaos Theory. And in Chaos Theory, there was all these things about fractals and Mandelbrots. And I looked and I went, oh, my God, that is the ceiling on our meeting house. Because when I saw that, I just saw the repetitive cycle of the fractal of life as depicted in our ceilings. And Mookie, you've been there, and I can, you know, and I'm sure you will agree that that's exactly what it is.
Yes, it's extraordinary, yes.
Yes, and so, that you know, the question goes now, how on earth did they know that? Because, you know, science has only just really come to comprehend that that's what it is. Mm. So, you know, I'm really grateful for that eye-opening week with our friend Robert Kiyosaki, that was.
Oh, that's right, that's right. And now, and then you also mentioned something about those, you call them graphics, designs. I mean, they're just encoded,
yes,
encoded sources. But you were speaking also of how that wisdom was unlocked in different ways when you were dreaming in there,
yes,
something along those lines.
Yes, and it enables me today to bring a level of translation that is not really out there right now. And in fact, your listeners are hearing things that are not shared widely. And when I return to certain Māori gatherings, they're still not, you know, translating in this way. And that comes about, I believe it was initiated in that house. I would just lie back and I would feel myself being transported into a whole other realm. And it was a realm of geometrics, of because the on the wall as well as on the ceiling are these triangular-like shapes, these star-like shapes, and a whole other kind of shape. And when I look at the naming of each of those, I then realize that, you know, we are sacred geometry. And then, you know, lo and behold, I read a book on sacred geometry, and there's the same symbols. And so I know that I was being opened up at that time as a little girl, because I spent a lot of time just lying in the house, because I was just felt so loved by it. I felt we were always told we were looked after by the ancestors. And so now I understand that those ancestors weren't just my grandmother and grandfather who borned my mother and father and so on. They were all of the ancestors from the very beginning of all life. And those codes became more meaningful to me as I began to journey with Aroha and this love of life.
Yeah, I've always experienced you as that edge seeker and pathfinder. I mean, you really are that in the bigger global community. So thank you for that incredible gift of yours. And, you know, when on our last ceremonial medicine journey that we had, gosh, it was October 2010, you know, the blessing of the welcome that you gave to our group had such a powerful impact. Can you share a little bit about the welcome that comes from your lineage, and I understand it isn't necessarily exactly traditional, or what would you like to
now
say?
Was this the one that we did on the mountain?
Yes.
Ah, yes. Well, it has all the traditional elements, mm-hmm. And that's always important. And the welcome is called the pōhiri or pōwhiri. And what that refers to is the pō is our name for invisibility. It also means darkness. So up until the pōhiri, you are very invisible, really. We don't really know who you are yet. And the role of the pōhiri is to bring all of who you are into visibility so that we can find our relationship and reconnect with each other, because we haven't seen each other in a long, 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 long time. And so pō, being invisible or darkness, is also the realm of Hine Nui Te Pō, or the Great Lady of the Night. And she is responsible for our care when we are in that invisible realm. And let's face it, the whole of the universe is who she is. That is a very dark space out there. And so, she takes care of us. And the hihiri is the call to the energies that we have. He is an uplifting energy. A ri is a vibrating energy. And so we are seen as these vibrational energies that are coming forth from the darkness to reveal who we really are. That's really the true essence of a pōhiri, of a welcome. Mm. And so we are called tangata whenua, the people of the land, and the people who are coming forward are called manu hiri. So here you hear that hiri, pōhiri, manu hiri. So they are the transient beings or bird-like beings who travel with this uplifting energy that they bring, and together we begin to share who we are and to help uplift everybody at the gathering. So we share genealogies as far back as we can, and we share song that unite us together, and we share the pressing of our noses. And that pressing is to share the breath of life that you bring and I bring, and it is the one breath. So we unite at the tip of the nose. And I remember reading once a while back, a long time ago, that, and you may know more about this, Mukhi, that the nose tip is one of the most sensuous parts of the body. And I thought, wow, what a greeting. And then from the nose greeting of the hongi, we call it, we then go around and we hongi with every person. And so that's a huge level of trust to enable you to come that close. It also helps to line up the chakras, and we ignite each other. And if we come with ourselves fully laid bare, then we come with an open heart and much trust.
Yes, that is such a incredible description, and I know just from the experience of even our group that came from many different lands, and some of us were meeting for the first time, to have that ceremony with you completely transformed everyone on a cellular level, really. It's extraordinary. But I know we are going to a break soon, so I want to let people know how to contact you. So to contact Makwini, and I'm going to tell you more about what she's up to in the second part of our show, is you can be her Facebook friend, and that's at Makwini Ruth Tai. And I'm going to spell that. That's Makwini Ruth, Ruth, Tai, Tai. You can also email Makwini at arahaeducation@gmail.com. So I'm going to spell that too. That's arahaeducation@gmail.com. And for more information about Makwini's vision and mission, you can visit www.tapapamarai.org. And I'm going to spell that too. So that's www.tapapamarai.org. The ceremonial medicine journey in Aotearoa, New Zealand will be October 13th to the 28th, 2012, and it'll be led by Bhati Thunderbear, Mihirangi, and myself. Makwini will be facilitating our traditional welcome, and we'll be spending our first 24 hours in her wise company. There are still some seats on the bus. Contact me as soon as possible. I'll give you my simple email, mukio@me.com. That's mukeo@me.com. Hope you can join us. You'll be so glad you did. You're tuned in to Muki Okan on Sex and the Divine Design with Makwini Ruth Tai and Araha, Love and the Sensuous Universe.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Go to www.thepussytalks.com now for your programs and services. Begin your journey. Enrich your world and your sexual well-being. It's the shortcut to success, sexual energy mastery, and beyond. Do it now. Muki is waiting for you. And if you want sexual well-being for humanity too, you're invited to contribute your unique skills to this private, non-profit foundation. We need volunteers and interns for research, multimedia, admin, and more. Go to www.thepussytalks.com now. Humanity needs you.
Do you ever stop and wonder if there's more to life than what you are experiencing? Do you feel like you deserve to live that life? Of course you should. Tune in to Shining Bright with your host, Regina Sisko. Through Regina's life experiences and her guest experts, you can put yourself on the path to holistic self-discovery and the life that you were born to lead. Shining Bright with Regina Sisko is broadcast live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
This is the Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are listening to Sex and the Divine Design with Muki Okan. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to info@thepussytalks.com. Now, back to Sex and the Divine Design.
Welcome back. This is your host, Muki Okan, your orgasm's best friend, with Makwini Ruth Tai and Araha, Love and the Sensuous Universe. You can contact me at info@thepussytalks.com. And if you would love to be a sponsor of this show, Sex and the Divine Design, email me at info@thepussytalks.com Or call my executive producer, John Missel, at 480-294-6419. We had over 47,000 listeners. That's right, 47,000 in the first month from all over the world. So that's only going to grow. To contact Makwini, you can email her at arahaeducation@gmail.com. That's arahaeducation@gmail.com. So before we went to the break, we were talking about the sensuous universe and the power of sound and song. And Makwini, I know you want to lead us into learning about the elements of haka and what that's all about.
Yes, I do. And because it flows on from there, and indeed, without haka, nothing would take form, nothing would come to life, because the haka is the essence of it all, as along with the aroha. And so haka is, it means to light up the breath of life. And haka is the dance of life. And indeed, all of life is a dance. So when the sun shines, or the wind blows, or the rain falls, or the fire burns, we see the dance of life all around us. Flowers grow, trees shiver, waves rise up, animals, insects, birds, humans, everything responds to the call of the haka. And in life there is the dance, and in death there is also the dance of the spirit, freed of its physical human body. So we don't often think of death as a dance, do we? But it is a dance, because it releases the spirit to dance without form. And so the following haka I'm going to share, epitomizes this dance of life and death. And you will have heard it, Muki, because it is the most famous of our haka. Kamate, kamate, kaura, kaura, kamate, kamate. Te kaura, kaura, tene te tangata, puhuru, huru. Nana ne tiki mai faka pichitera. Upane, kaupane, upane, kaupane, pichitera. Hi. Now, there are several levels of translation, and the most well-known and politically or missionary correct, I should say, is this one. Tis death, tis death, tis life, tis life. This is the hairy person who enabled the sun to shine. Up one terrace, up another terrace, up another terrace, and again another terrace. The sun shines. He. Now, if only people knew what they were really affirming here.
I'd love to hear that.
So I'm going to give you the unpolitical one and the unmissionary one.
Okay, good.
That actually I don't think anyone else has given before. So the hairy being actually refers to the raho, or the penis. And ra refers to light, and aho refers to line. So the penis is the light line. And upane in their haka. U is the milk substance that feeds all life and enables spirit to become form. In the male, it is found in his penis. And in the female, it is in her breasts. And he, at the end, we go, whaka pichitera, hi. And you've seen our people do the haka, and they go down at the haka and they release that sound of the hi. Now, hi is the sound of the uprising energy. It is the feminine power responding to the masculine power. And hi is short for hine, which means female, woman, or feminine. And ta is short for tane, which means male, man, or masculine. And it's interesting, when we combine ta and he, we have tahi, which means unity, which means one. Mm. So that masculine energy and that he of Ta and that he energy of the feminine become the unity, become the oneness. Now, the story behind the haka is said to be about a warrior named Te Rau Paraha. He was being pursued by the enemy when he came upon a village and sought sanctuary. And it is said that he was given shelter in a kumara, or a sweet potato pit, and a chiefly woman, wrapped in a cloak, stood over the pit. No undies in those days. Now, here is the translation from a sensuous universe perspective.
Okay.
It is lifeless. It is lifeless. It arouses. It arouses. This is the hairy being who brings forth the activating light. Head hardens. Head actively hardens. Head hardens. Head actively hardens. And the light flows. He. And so the energy rises. And that's really the translation of that haka.
Mm.
Beautiful, huh?
Really beautiful. And it's so empowering for women and for men, and especially for men, just knowing, you know, like the seed, they are the source of the seed, and that the woman is like all-encompassing. Would you say that's what it's speaking about?
Yeah. So, you know, I love our chants in this way. They're just so full of life, and the haka is. And so it brings forth that dance between the two energies. And without that dance, it is lifeless. It is lifeless. Without that song, it is lifeless. It is lifeless. And then once the song begins, and once the chant happens, and once the body engages, then it arouses, and it arouses. And so, you know, here we are playing out the sensuous universe through the haka.
Mm. Spectacular. I love the haka. And even that was extraordinary, that morning on our journey when we were just learning the names of the fruits when we were doing.
That's right. and then we turned that into a haka.
Yeah, yeah. So it's certainly, so you said that the essence of the haka is, it's like life-affirming, energizing. What was it you said at the beginning?
Well, and it's, you know, when I think about it, it's like, so it's really invigorating the cells of our body to come together, to give it that form and that shape, and to be the expression of the ecstasy of life, really. And so that's how I work with haka, and I learned much about that when you met Hirini, when Hirini and I did a lot of work together over the last, about 6 years we worked together, taking the haka for life around over to the States and here in New Zealand and with people who came to visit. And so with that, his male perspective and my female perspective, we were able to bring forth a lot more insight about the haka together.
Mm. I just love the way that you keep bringing forth, you know, from yes, what you've experienced, you know, throughout your whole life, and how you're making it available in, when I say the modern world, you know, I mean like right now, so making it available to all people, it's extraordinary.
I think it's important because we're the holders, because, you know, it's in our language and it's in our culture. We're not the owners, I don't believe. I believe it belongs to all of humanity, to all of life, and it is our job to share that. It is our purpose to share that, as it is for every culture, whatever it is that we hold dear, that serves humanity, that serves love, that serves life, must be shared. And so that's how come I do it.
Yeah, and you're so great at it. Now, I know that you are creating a new website, Araha Light Language website, and it's going to be up online around September. And I've always loved all of the websites that you've had in the past, because you've had a couple of different ones focused on Araha. So can you say something to us all about your new website that you're creating?
Sure. Aroha like language is going to be more of more depth into the codes of the language. And I'll be sharing things like that that I haven't really shared before, so that will enable people to look at every part of the language, so all of the sounds and the sound blends. And as a result of that, I am hopeful, and I think it was because I've tried it out in many workshops, that people will be able to decode with me and with each other more of what our language holds. And perhaps it will also give insight into other languages. Because I remember a friend who came on a journey. She was from Holland but is living in the States. And we were walking around and I said to her, you know, you have the sound in Dutch that's really, we don't have that sound, and it's they have a guttural sound of the kind of sound. And I said, where does that come from? Because for me, every sound is in nature, but I'm trying to work out where that one is. And she wasn't sure herself. And anyway, we were walking towards a river, and I heard the sound, and I shook her. I said, there it is, Connie, there it is. There's the sound. It's the sound of water, this water that we're hearing. Can you hear it? And she did. She heard it. And I said, and isn't Holland, you know, surrounded by a lot of water? Isn't water a big thing in your country? And she said, it is. And I said, so that's where that sound comes from. And so what I hope to do with Aroha-like language is help to awaken us to this, you know, the sensuous sound of our universe, because I know it brings me much delight, and it opens me to more of who I am. And so that's the reason for sharing it. I began with Aroha Insights, and then I became Aroha Education, and now moving forward to Aroha-like language.
So what else would you like to share with the listeners? We have a little bit of time left, so you have so much.
Yeah. I just want to complete on the theme of the haka,
mm-hmm.
and then perhaps go to wherever else. So, you know, all haka are about connecting with nature and cosmos, Nuku and Rangi, Mother Nature and Father Sky, and the movement of hands, feet, legs, arms, body, tongue, eyes, all detail this connection. So we must bring to life all of the parts of our body in the dance. And when I say the tongue, you know, you've seen the protrusion of the tongue. That's usually left to the male. And the tongue represents the teller of truth. So when we bring that tongue out, it means that the man, when he gets up to be the orator, must speak his truth. And the women, with their eyes, are watching for every detail. And the eye, you've seen the protruding of the eyes. Their eyes, that movement is called the pūkana, and it says to activate the source of your being, the beauty of who you are. So it's like, you know, the eyes are the windows to the soul. So the pūkana is calling you in to see the beauty of who I really am. And a well-performed haka will enable both the performer and the observer to feel and experience the energy of their own inner tāne, the inner male, and their own inner hine, the inner female, and the rising of their own hi. And I think of this as perhaps the kundalini energy, that is that rising energy. So there are a lot of stories about Aroha, love, and the sensuous universe. And when you begin to experience the world through personification and metaphor, you grow to understand that life is juicy and boredom just doesn't exist. You know, the universe doesn't know about boredom, for goodness sake.
Yeah, that's certainly an interesting concept in philosophy, isn't it, about boredom?
Yeah. where did it come from, huh? And because there was so much there. I mean, I can sit out and just be totally engrossed in just watching nothing really sometimes, and yet I will see much in that nothing, and just totally engage in life in a whole new way these days. So boredom is not part of my vocabulary at all, and I don't believe it's yours either, Mookie.
No, it's not.
and I believe that one of the saddest things is to leave this planet and never know you lived on paradise. And I've looked, you know, at the proclaimed geniuses in Western history, so like Leonardo da Vinci, Albert Einstein, Richard Buckminster Fuller, and the other thing they have in common is a vivid imagination born of a deep interest and a love and respect for nature and cosmos.
Yes.
That seems to me something common amongst that level of genius. They totally understood nature and they totally understood cosmos. And so I go, well, our ancestors were of that ilk, really.
Yes.
And they passed it on to us through song. And how ingenious. Song, chant, story, you know, all of those things that make life interesting and enable us to communicate in an exciting and in a fun way. And we embellish it through the ages and so on. And so, you know, that's a little bit extra about haka. And, you know, some more questions. And what I want to share with you is one more, a haka for life that we composed, Hirani and I, when we were on the road, and we shared this with people around the world, and, you know, people in different countries are now, hopefully, still, some will still remember this haka, and maybe some are still practicing it. But I just wanted to see if you wanted to ask anything more before I went into that one.
Go ahead. I want to hear the haka.
it's in three parts. And okay. The first part is called Haka Noa, and it's about releasing and freeing up. And it's one where when you feel that your life is dense and, you know, something has happened and you're feeling depressed or something, this here, we encourage people to go into that to bring and release it from their bodies. So here's the sound. Piti, piti, noa. Piti, piti, noa. Haka mai ngā hine, haka mai ngā tāne, haka mai ngā hine tāne, puta mai ngā hua, haka tehi, haka. Release, be free, bring it up, let it go, bring it up, release it, release the woman, release the man, release the womb man, emerge new beginnings, restore the power, restore the force. And the second part, Hakatoa. Now we go into the fiti, fiti, toa. Fiti, fiti, toa. Haka mai ngā hine. Haka mai ngā tāne. Haka mai ngā hine tāne. Puta mai ngā hua. Haka tehi, haka teha. He, arise, honourable brave, arise, arise, courage, arise, arise, honourable brave, empower the female, empower the male, empower the femme, male, bring forth new life, channel the power, channel the force, bind it. And so from that sad, sad estate at the beginning, we then call on their inner strength to really pull them out of that. And the third part is called Haka Kua. Fitsi, fitsi, koa, koa. Fitsi, fitsi, koa, koa. Haka mai ngā hine, hine, haka. hakamai ga tane tane, hakamai ga hinne tane, putamai ga hua hakate hi hi, hakate ha ha ea. Dance joy. Radiate, radiate, joy, joy, shine, shine, joy, joy, dance the woman, dance the man, dance the woo, man, create anew, laughter, the power, laughter, the force, complete. And so, you know, that's the haka.
Fantastic, fantastic. And I can't believe it. We're almost out of time. So I want to let people know that you're going to be facilitating our traditional welcome again on our journey in October. And we've still got some seats on the bus. So you should contact me as soon as possible. And that's mookie@me.com. Mookieo@me.com. MUKEEO@me.com. And we'll also be traveling with Mihirangi, an extraordinary singer. But I want to let you know how to contact Makwini. So if you've been moved by what Makwini's been sharing, you must contact her. Well, better still meet her on our trip. But you can contact her at arahaeducation@gmail.com and also at the website, which is www.tapapamarae.org. And so, Makwini, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today, and I want to let the listeners know you can download this for free, an MP3, anytime that you want. We want you to share this with your friends. Please get this out there and let people know what Makwini's up to. And you know, I always love to complete with an inspirational saying. So Makwini, would you please do the honors?
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure. Speak so that we may hear the divine essence in your voice. Kōrero kia rongo I tō reo rangatira.
Thank you again for tuning in. Please join Mookie Okan for another edition of Sex and the Divine Design next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. We'll see you here next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.